Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for September 2008. This is issue number 282. If you'd like to write to us at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, the address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 360-382-1957. Email sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. A subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org. You can also sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player and stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047 if you want to pay by check. On side two of this tape, there is a very important message for DX Audio Service members. Please be sure you listen to it. But now, here's Captain Bill Hale flying in with the AM Switch.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome again, everyone, to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service, this edition, September 2008. First of all, call letter changes. The former WXYG in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, has taken WMIN for a call. Wait a minute, WMIN is on 740. No, it's not. They've changed to WDGY. That station has moved to St. Paul, Minnesota, and they've taken that old call from what used to be 630. But wait a minute, 630 is St. Paul, and that's WDGY. They're now WREY. Got it? Here we go. 540 in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, changed to WMIN. 630 in St. Paul changes to WREY, and 740 just moved from Hudson, Wisconsin, now WDGY. I hope that's all straightened out. 620 KIPA Hilo, Hawaii has changed to KHNU. 670 KBTB in Las Vegas, Nevada, they're now KMZQ. 740 CHWO in Toronto, they've changed their call to CFZM. 850 KWOF Waterloo, Iowa has changed to KXGM. 890 WEEZ Laurel, Mississippi, their new call is WHJA. Well, we had some call letter flip-flops in the upper Midwest. We've also got quite a change here in the Boston and New York City area. On 970, WWDJ Hackensack, New Jersey, on July 25th, changed to WTTT on that same day. WTTT in Boston, Massachusetts, 1150, changed to WWDJ, so they just switched calls. But then, about 2 weeks later, 970 in Hackensack changed their call to WNYM. So, bottom line, 970 Hackensack, New Jersey is now WNYM, and 1150 in Boston is WWDJ. Backing up just a little bit, 1100 KQNM in Milan, M-I-L-A-N, or Milan, New Mexico, they changed their calls to KKJY. 1370 KALN Iola, Kansas, their new call is KIOL. 1400, a brand new station in Clayton, Georgia, has chosen WNGA for their call. 1490 WRTN Berlin, New Hampshire, WKDR is their call. And 1550 KKJY Albuquerque, New Mexico, their new call KQNM, so they just switched with that station in Milan. Some CPs on the air this past month. 660 KGDP in Oildale, California is on the air with 8,000 watts during the day, 6,000 watts at night with two different patterns. That's U4. The city of license moved from Orcutt. 900 WUAM Water Vliet, New York, their CP for 400 watts daytime, 70 watts at night, non-directional, is on, moving from Saratoga Springs. 980 WHAW Weston, West Virginia, their CP is on, 25,000 watts during the day, 47 watts at night, all non-directional. 1100 WZFG Dilworth, Minnesota, brand new station, is now on the air with 50,000 watts during the day, 440 watts at night, 22,000 watts during critical hours. Their antenna pattern is designation U6. That means non-directional days, directional critical hours, and nights using the same pattern, although in this case, they're a little bit different in sizes. The ID is AM1100, the flag. Format is talk with Fox News. And we happen to have a clip of their legal ID grabbed on one of their first days on the air.
Your station for news, opinion, passion. AM1100, the flag.
I'm Scott Hennon, and I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I, Rush Limbaugh, pledge allegiance to the flag.
I, Sean Hannity, pledge allegiance to the flag.
Hi, it's Mark Levin, live from Broadway, downtown Fargo, North Dakota. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
News Talk Radio.
The flag.
WCFG. Dilworth, Fargo, Marquette, USA.
Fox News Radio, I'm Bill Vitka.
Well, thanks to John Ellis and his website, UpperMidwestBroadcasting.com, for that clip. More stations on with changed facilities include 1110 KJSA Mineral Wells, Texas. Their CP to move to 1110 for 20,000 watts during the day, no power at night. Directional daytime only, that's D3, is now on. The principal pattern shoots their business-formatted programming to the east-northeast. 1230 KSIX, Corpus Christi, Texas. They're now on with 720 watts day and night, non-directional, as they relocated their tower. 1270 KRVT, Claremore, Oklahoma. Their construction permit for U4, that's two different patterns, 5,000 watts daytime, 1,000 watts at night, is now on. The new day pattern is a figure eight headed northeast and southwest with small lobes 90 degrees off those major lobes. 1420 KMHS, Coos Bay, Oregon. They're now on with a kilowatt during the day, 41 watts at night, non-directional. KMRB 1430, San Gabriel, California. They're now on with U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 9,800 watts at night. The new day pattern heads southwest, while the new night pattern basically heads due west. 1460 WZNZ, Jacksonville, Florida. They're now on with 15,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, increasing their daytime power and their directional night only. That's U2. 1460 KBRZ, Missouri City, Texas. Their CP for 5,000 watts during the day, 125 watts at night, non-directional all hours, is now on from a new transmitter site, a move of about 50 miles. The city of license is changed from Freeport, Texas. Although the FCC database reads Missouri as the city of license, Missouri City is the actual name of the community. It's a suburb of Houston. And 1690 CJLO, Montreal, Quebec, is on. 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. When heard, they were playing metal, punk, alternative, and some goth. So no telling what you will hear. Moving on to other actions which have taken place over the past month, 680 KKGR East Helena, Montana. A CP has been granted to rebroadcast their programming on K228EN, which is 93.5 megahertz. Remember last month we had a couple of these stations which are now rebroadcasting on FM translators. Well, here's another one. 720 WVUV, Lyon, American Samoa. A CP has been granted to move from 648 kilohertz with 5,000 watts daytime, 2,000 watts at night, non-directional, from a new tower. The change in frequency was brought about by American cars on the island having 10 kHz spacing on their digital radios. 1240 KSON, San Diego, California. CP has been granted for 545 watts day and night, non-directional, moving to the KURS 1040 tower. 1300 WGDJ, Rensselaer, New York. A CP has been granted for U4, 10,000 daytime watts, 8,000 watts at night. Now, I bring that up because last month we reported this station as being Indiana. Well, there's a Rensselaer in Indiana, and we just got a little bit mixed up. But this is WGDJ in Rensselaer, New York. 1330 KGAK in Gallup, New Mexico. A CP has been granted for an STA, which means Special Temporary Authority, a 5,000 watts during the day, 250 watts at night. The application states, and we quote, directional operation is not possible at this time due to vandalism damage at tower number 2. Non-directional operation at 0.250 kilowatts from Tower 1 is requested. KGAK's normal operation is U2, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts at night. So they are now U1, 5,000 watts during the day, 250 watts at night. 1340 WNBS, Murray, Kentucky. A CP has been granted for 800 watts day and night, non-directional, moving to a new tower. And 1480 KLVL, Pasadena, Texas. A CP has been granted for U5, 5,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night, increasing their daytime power. U5, what's that? That's directional during the days and non-directional at night. Four new stations have been granted this past month. In 900, Bend, Oregon was granted a new station, a CP for 50,000 watts during the day, 2,400 watts at night from three towers using all three all hours. Both patterns are directed to the west-southwest. 1030, Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. A CP has been granted for 35,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night from six towers using all six day and night. That's U4. The day pattern shoots equal amounts of power toward the southeast and west-northwest, while the night pattern sends a slender lobe toward the southwest, protecting guess who? Maxwell Air Force Base is located on the outskirts of Montgomery. 1170, a new station in Agana, Guam. They've been granted 250 watts day and night, non-directional. And 1490, a new station in Susanville, California, has been granted 1,000 watts daytime, 970 watts at night. Some applications of note. Remember last month we mentioned the application of CKKY 830 in Wainwright, Alberta. They applied to move to 101.9 megahertz on the FM band. Well, another Alberta station, CKBA 850 in Athabasca, has also applied to make the move to FM. So what happens? 790 CFCW in Camrose, Alberta, has applied for 50,000 watts daytime, 40,000 watts at night, U4, moving to 840, right in the middle of 830 and 850. As before, most of the day and night signals would be directed in broad lobes to the north in order to serve Edmonton. At night, the co-channel interference from KGHL 790 Billings and KJRB Spokane is a real problem for CFCW over most of Alberta. All three of those Canadian stations are owned by NewCap. Moving to FM, 1070 CHOK Sarnia, Ontario. On Wednesday, July 23rd at 7:10 a.m., Country 103.9 FM launched, meaning CHOK 1070 has up to 90 days of life remaining. Other notes from here and there, returning to the airwaves the past 30 days, WASG 550, Atmore, Alabama with Religion, WCTN 950, Potomac Cabin John, Maryland, after a few days of silence after their transmitter reportedly blew up, WOAP 1080, Owosso, Michigan with Religion and their simulcasting with WCAR. WALD 1080 Johnsonville, South Carolina is back with Black Gospel format. Also back, KETX 1440 Livingston, Texas with Country. They're simulcasting with their FM, KETX FM. And finally, WKFO 1600 Corbin, Kentucky is back with Talk. Off this month, WDLM 960 East Moline, Illinois, KRBI 1310 St. Peter, Minnesota, KOLE Port Arthur, Texas, WSYA 1490 Anniston, Alabama, and WTTN 1580 Watertown, Wisconsin was noted off the air on August 5th. This station has a construction permit to move to Columbus, Wisconsin, so it's unknown if this silence is related to that CP. Reconstruction of KFI's fallen tower began with the move on of equipment and tower hardware, according to a West Coast website. The original replacement tower fell during construction on March 18, 2008, when an elevated guy anchor gave way. Tower sections are being assembled as additional hardware arrives this week. A complete redesign of the northeast elevated guy anchor point of failure on March 18, 2008 has been employed, and stacking of tower sections should begin by the end of the week. The tower, when constructed, will be 684 feet tall with a 50-foot diameter top hat for capacitive loading to make the tower think it is a bit taller electrically. This new tower replaces the original 750-foot tower that was destroyed in 2004 when a light aircraft crashed into it. Check out this website at http://www.k6rix.com/kfi.html. Well, some fines this past month, $9,000 has been assessed to KLCN 910 Blytheville, Arkansas for public file violations, a $3,000 forfeiture to WIRD 1330 Greenville, South Carolina for public inspection file violations, and a $4,800 fine has been assessed to WILA 1580 Danville, Virginia for failure to file for a renewal in a timely manner and subsequent unlawful operation. KONP 1450 Port Angeles, Washington now translates on K271AZ 102.1 with a number of Victoria, British Columbia listeners reporting good reception of that 70-watt station across the Strait of Juan de Fuca. That span is 30-plus miles. Radio Netherlands needs your help is the headline. Well, Radio Netherlands Worldwide is creating a digital historical audio archive of the Dutch Foreign Service broadcaster's output. According to a post on the Radio Netherlands Worldwide Media Network blog, RNW is looking for copies of programs from the 1940s and 1950s distributed in North America on 16-inch discs by the Netherlands Information Bureau in New York. The discs were produced in the United States and/or Canada, and few made their way back to the archives. RNW hopes to find copies of the discs so they may be digitized and preserved. If any of these discs are gathering dust in a record library that you know of, RNW hopes the owners will contact the Historical Audio Archive Project. Internet connected? Well, go to http://blogs.rnw.nl/meditplea/4/historical-audio-archive. Boy, I hate those HTTP addresses. Whew. Well, that's about it this month. My thanks go out to Dave Alpert, Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Joe Curreth, Dean McIntyre, Kenneth S. Onichuk, whoever that is, Dave Schmidt, and Jerry Starr. Well, now we turn the microphone over to John Bowker, who's waiting in the wings, and he's got some travelogue information for us this month. John?
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the travelogue portion of the audio service. Hey, I hope you got home safely from the convention in Pittsburgh. You know, I just have to tell you how impressed we've all been on the board during the spring and summer months with the excitement and effort that John Malachy put into hosting this year's convention for the National Radio Club. He started way back in January all by himself, and it wasn't until the middle of February, I guess, that we learned of his plans and how much he'd already accomplished. It was a stellar effort to be long remembered. So we all say thanks to John Malachy. Well, today we're going to continue our program of traveling to places in the U.S. where most of our listeners have never been. And therefore, you'll be hearing stations for the first time since they're not in major metropolitan areas that Phil covers with a market scope. Today we're going to start off in the UP. That's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. That's what the locals call it. And in fact, this first station today is, I believe, the most westerly AM station in the Eastern Time Zone. As we begin the September 2008 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Do you have a hard time getting on the WJMS Swap Shop program? Well, we have a solution for you, because every new knower on WJMS, we have the classifieds. Send us a postcard or letter with the items you'd like to sell and send it in to WJMS Classifieds, Post Office Box 250, Ironwood, Michigan, 49938, or drop them off during regular business hours.
2 o'clock, AM 59, WJMS, Ironwood, Michigan. Cloudy sky, off and on rainfall. Temperature has dropped now. We are at 54 degrees. We now join Brewer baseball, already in progress, going into the bottom of the third inning. The score is tied one apiece as the Milwaukee Brewers take on the Seattle Mariners.
Thon was at third with nobody out. Now he is there with two down.
Thon is going to try to steal home, and Johnson throws to the plate, and Phil Garner wants a balk.
Yeah, just try to follow that action. Oh, and by the way, WJMS at 590 runs 1,000 watts at night, so that might be a real fine addition to your log, you know, the most westerly station in the eastern time zone. And next we come to the most northerly station in Michigan.
This is your Tiger Baseball Station, WCCY, Houghton, Hancock.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I'm Chet Douglas with the latest from ABC News.
Ah, yes, the Coweena Peninsula area. You might think it gets kind of cold up there in Houghton, but really it's surrounded by a huge body of water called Lake Superior. And that keeps it kind of mild in the summer and moderates really just how cold it gets in the winter. But still, it's way up north. It's probably the second coldest place in the U.S., right after International Falls. I don't know. Well, as we move east along the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, we come next to the city of Iron Mountain. And, you know, I often wondered why people would want to work down in those mines. You hear such dreadful stories from time to time. But if you ever get up to Iron Mountain, Michigan, they'll take you down 400 feet so you can see for yourself what the working conditions were really like down there.
The Jim Bohannon Show will be right back after the news on AM 1450, WMIQ Iron Mountain, your information station.
USA Radio Network News, this is Jim Kress.
Very good, Jim. We'd love to hang around, but we're going to get back up on US 41 and head further east along the Upper Peninsula. And we're going to come to the town with, well, to my ear, a funny name, but then lots of towns have funny names. This is Ishpeming, Michigan.
The Sweethearts of the Rodeo on the Country Giant, WJPD Ishpeming, WJPD FM Ishpeming Marquette. Good afternoon, it's 4 o'clock.
This is the NBC Radio Network. I'm Wes Richards.
Well, now, actually, Ishpeming has two stations. That's the first city we've come to with that credential today on the travelogue. The second station, a little better news, 5,000 watts at 970 on the dial. The bad news is it's a daytime only.
Tomorrow we can expect mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and a high of 75. The outlook for Wednesday through Friday, fair skies with highs in the 70s. Lows should be in the 50s.
A vision for Upper Michigan. This is AM 97, WMBN, Ishpeming, Marquette.
And I guess the vision is for more music. Okay. Well, we've worked our way all the way east to Lake Michigan, at least that part of Lake Michigan, perhaps better known as Green Bay.
John Denver's Sunshine on My Shoulders on WAGN, AM 1340. Currently, we have a temperature reading of 79 degrees under sunny skies. A good day in the neighborhood. It's 9 o'clock. This is AM 1340 WAGN Menominee. Time for news.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker.
And just an hour's drive north of Menominee are the two stations in Escanaba.
You're listening to the Rush Limbaugh radio program on WCHT, Escanaba, Gladstone.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Bob Schmidt. The UN Security Council says yes to putting thousands of troops in Bosnia to protect Muslims in Sarajevo and five other so-called safe havens.
And right across town at 680 on the dial.
AM 680 WDBC, Escanaba Gladstone at 306 Eastern Time. Mike Smith homeward bound and weekend bound on a Friday afternoon with mostly sunny skies and a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Clear tonight with a low around 40. And into the weekend we go with sunny skies tomorrow, Saturday, high around 70. Temperature downtown Escanaba is sitting at 64 degrees. Exposé coming up. We'll also hear from B.J. Thomas, Chicago, and hopefully sometime later this hour we'll be talking to Jared Erdody, who was drafted in the 24th round today by the Atlanta Braves.
You know, one of the most pleasant parts about this travelogue that we put together every month is that so many of the IDs that we give you really trigger memories of what we were looking at and doing the day that the ID was made. That's particularly true in this next case. We were up at the locks at Sault Ste. Marie in northern Michigan, watching one of these huge tankers come through the locks with about 3 inches to spare on both sides. I kid you not. And no scraping, and just wonderful talent those guys have. In Sault Ste. Marie.
Reporting for Radio Sioux.
This is Radio Sioux WSOO in Sault Ste. Marie. It's 11 o'clock.
And then as we turn right and head south for the first time on this adventure, we come to the town of Sheboygan. Now, there are several Sheboygans in the United States. This one starts with the letter C.
You've been listening to the Rush Limbaugh Show on 1240 WCBY Sheboygan. For Rush Limbaugh in the Straits area, it is 1240 Radio, WCBY Sheboygan.
I'm John Grimes. The Mississippi could crest near Quincy, Illinois during the day. Thousands of volunteers and National Guard troops worked steadily, piling up sandbags to reinforce the levees.
And boy, doesn't that all sound familiar. Remember back in late June and July? Wow, the Mississippi flooding. Well, okay, we continue our travelogue. This time we're going to have our dial set at 1400 in the northwestern part of the state, looking for Elmwood Township, which doesn't show up on any maps, but nearby Traverse City does.
This is Therese Arena on the USA Radio Network.
Well, good afternoon. It's just about 12 o'clock here at WLJN AM and FM, Elmwood Township, Traverse City. 69 degrees, sunny skies, well, partly sunny, as we take a look at the latest in news.
Let's see, you're going to have the latest in news? Didn't I just pass Therese Arena going out the door? Oh, okay. Hey, we're going to go over to the Lake Huron side, the eastern side of the Michigan Mitten, shaped like a glove. And we'll come to Rogers City, stationed at 960 on the dial, 5,000 watts, but it's only a daytimer.
It's 11 o'clock at Real Country, AM 96 WHAK, Rogers City, Michigan.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm Tim O'Donnell.
Now, as we leave Rogers City and proceed south along the Lake Huron shoreline of Michigan, we come to the Thunderbird Marine Sanctuary and the National Underwater Preserve, right there in Alpena, Michigan. And we also come to WATZ.
The Rush Limbaugh Show will continue following world and national news from ABC. This is AM 1450 WATZ Alpena.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Bob Schmidt.
Well, just looking at the geography of northern Michigan, this gives us a chance to get back over in the central part of the state on Interstate 75. Now, that's particularly appealing to me, of course, because where I live in Florida is also on Interstate 75. We're going to go next to the little town of Gaylord.
The answer to that question, that means you're going to listen to the news and you're not going to turn over and listen to Rush Limburger or somebody like that. More to come with our guest, Dr. Beth Hedva, on the People's Radio Network.
Take a tour through Michigan every Sunday morning at 9 during Michigan Monkevich Weekend, only here on AM 900 WSNQ Gaylord.
Around the world, around the clock, this is UPI News. President Clinton is in Des Moines, Iowa, for another look at the Midwest flooding.
Yeah, the floods. And our last stop today takes us all the way down to Grayling, Michigan. Now you might find, gee, how far south are you going? Well, we're still 170 miles north of Detroit, you know.
WGRY, FM and AM, Roscommon, Grayling, Cadillac, Mayo.
Thank you.
Yes, on those nice notes, we'll terminate the travelogue for this month. Oh, say, Fred was waving his arms, and now I understand. He lives on Interstate 75, too, so that's something that ties us all together, I guess. It's time for Mark Durenberger. We've waited long enough. Mark, it's all yours.
Thanks so much, John. Mark Durenberger for the DX Audio Service, and welcome. We've reached the final installment of our 2007 band scan from the center of Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon. Our radios are located near Uppsala, Minnesota, some 100 miles northwest of Minneapolis. And for a few days last summer, we were tuned to literally every frequency from 540 to 1700 with some pretty decent luck. Daytime catches from more than 350 miles away. And with well over 100 stations reporting in, you can see why it's taken us six parts to get this done. We've heard something on almost every medium wave channel. And now we're, as they say, rounding third base on the way to finally wrapping this series. And we left off on 1510, heading for the end of the X band. 1510 not available in this part of the country, the nearest station in Milbank, South Dakota. 1520 is a US 1B clear on which Buffalo, New York, Oklahoma City, and Portland, Oregon provide 50 kilowatt service in the US. In Lake Wobegon, the nearest signal is that of KOLM Rochester, 10,000 watts by daylight with a slight null in our direction, 800 watts when the owls fly from two towers directing the signal north-northeast. The reception on this high-end channel is about what we'd expect from 165 miles to the southeast.
A message from the American Library Association's campaign for America's libraries and library champions.
Sports Radio 1520, the ticket is KOLM. Rochester's home of ESPN.
Hope you like airports. CNNC Dastenbaum joins us live from New York, and they use it to see a lot of your airports.
On the US 1B Clear 1530, the NRC pattern book shows almost nothing on the band in the upper Midwest states, except for KQSP in Shakopee, west of Minneapolis. They use two towers protecting the Cincinnati primary station. KQSP delivers 8,000 watts, actually 8,600 watts, day, and a strapping 10 watts at night. But they do make the most of their singular daytime coverage.
Al 612-807-4411.
AM 1530, KQSP. Studios high atop Hazelton Gates in Chaska.
To St. Cloud.
Northwestern Wisconsin.
To Faribault. Almost to the Dakotas. Sometimes in Duluth. 9,000 watt.
AF 1530.
KQSP. Shakopee, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I know you like me.
Those of us who grew up in this territory have always known 1540 KXEL Waterloo, Iowa, to be one of those signals that on some days goes nowhere, and at other times seems to stretch forever. KXEL is 250 miles to the south of us, 50 kilowatts, and during the day they're non-directional. At night, KXEL uses two towers to point it all due north, protecting the primary, ZNS NASA, on this Bahamian clear channel. Again, this is daytime coverage.
It'll be sunny and steamy on Sunday with a high near 94. Look for scattered thunderstorms on Monday with a high of 87.
The morning headlines without all the ink on your fingers. AM Update with Dennis Lowe and Chris Reaver. Weekdays at 6 on News Talk 1540 KXEL.
KXEL 1550 is a Mexican clear assignment. The nearest 1550 station is WEVR in River Falls, Wisconsin. This is a tough one daytime. 920 watts, non-directional at 120 miles. And at night, they strap it down to a wall-busting 4 watts. Wonder if it gets out of the parking lot after dark.
It's time now for the WEVR Sunday Summary. A comprehensive view of all that's new in our listening area, your hometown, the region, the nation, and the world. A complete report of news, weather, markets, and sports.
All this new in the region, the nation, and around the world.
Well, I tell you, that is stretching it, but imagine, if you will, during this six-part series, that we have been situated in a very low-noise environment in the center of this so-called mythical Lake Wobegon, made so famous by Garrison Keillor in Prairie Home Companion. And imagine that we're in the center of a, well, by actual demonstration, we've reached out more than 350 miles in some directions. That would put us in the center of a 700-mile circle. And we've been bringing you daytime reception from almost all the towers in this area, from end to end of the band, with just a few exceptions. Here's another signal we didn't expect. From 150 miles, it's KBEW Blue Earth, Minnesota, on the Iowa border. On the Cuban Clear 1560, KBEW is a non-directional, daytime only at 1 kilowatt.
Meeting the mouth, the radio staff crew with Travis. 5 o'clock at KBEW Blue Earth.
And then there's 1570, another Mexican clear. All sorts of overlapping daytime signals in the NRC pattern book. KYCR near Minneapolis at 110 miles is the clear winner. 3,800 watts day and 230 watts at night, both non-directional.
Learn more at veteranscarddonations.com.
KYCR.
Golden Valley. Adopted. St. Louis. Haven Prairie. Edison Park.
This is the new talk of the Twin Cities. AM 1570.
New inventions. Hey, mister, always on the go. But I know you got the answers. We all want to know.
1580 is one of the few frequencies on which we found nothing. It's one of the Canadian clears, and with the wind blowing right, we ought to hear something from the flea power in Windham, Minnesota, but not today. 1590, on the other hand, provides pretty good copy from Wilmer at 55 miles. In spite of the fact that Wilmer's signal is pointed away from us, they operate a kilowatt day, 89 watts at night, sending the signal straight south from two towers.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Gordon, and this is Twins Territory. Solid Gold, AM 1590, KDJS, Wilmer.
Last night, as I got home, about a half past ten, there was the woman I thought I knew in the arms of another man.
Which takes us to the top of the former Standard Broadcast Band, 1600, where we find a Korean language outlet at Watertown, Minnesota, 70 miles from us. KWOM, or maybe now KPNP, is 5,000 watts, full-time, DA1, three towers, pointed due north right at us. And that's the entire Standard AM band, as heard from our summer digs in the center of mythical Lake Wobegon. But before we shut up and Fred flips the tape, let's spin up to the X-band. As we know, almost all X-band stations are 10,000 watts day, 1 kilowatt night, non-directional. We'll patch together here very quickly all the stations we heard daytime.
Great taste, less billing. Miller Lite, at the Sundowner Bus, 50th and Harrison.
ESPN Major League Baseball on 1620 The Zone, Omaha ESPN Radio, is brought to you by the Omni Big Red Casino on 81st and Cass. More than 50 TVs, big screens, and TVs right at your table.
No errors and one runner left on base. It's actually out in Wolf now. We'll go to the top half of the fifth. It'll be 6-7-8, Tamco, Brown, and Townsend. It is 4-1 Wilson. Back in a minute on 1630, KCJJ.
Locally owned 1630, KCJJ, Iowa City, Coralville, and Cedar Rapids.
Through four innings, Wilson with four runs, three hits, one error. Solon, one run, four hits, one error. There's a swing and a miss by Brent Tamco. He'll be followed by Justin Brown and Zach Thompson.
1640, Radio Disney Milwaukee.
Radio Disney, what are you guys doing?
Just sitting on the bed. We were trying a lot of times to call you.
Well, the bed usually is a really comfortable place to try from. I mean, you could be, like, standing up the whole time, right?
No.
Oh, no way. That would, like, be way uncomfortable.
Lots of sunshine early, but scattered clouds are going to pop up throughout the afternoon and evening hours. It's going to be coming mostly sunny once again for Thursday, 5:76. With your weather, I forecast, I'm meteorologist Laura Buxer on 1650 The Fan, 6DMZ. Right now, 79.
Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it. Don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
This is Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike in the Morning, heard weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN Radio for the Red River Valley, KQWBAM, West Fargo, Fargo-Moorhead. What is love?
It's the 2007 All-Star Game.
We just want you to know you have two fans here just going, you go in science. You go.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're very proud of you and everything that you're doing. Thank you.
This has been another edition of On Air In Business Magazine with Jody and Joe on the Pulse, WTDY Madison. From the Madison 1670 News Center, this is an ABC News update. More Americans
Los Angeles has now dropped 6 in a row, and of course the Sky's next home game will be Thursday night. Les Grafton will be back on the air with you, and I might want to remind people that they're tuned to WBON Chicago. This is AM 1690, and let's talk about the UIC Pavilion right now. As a matter of fact, Taja, what do you know?
Well, the Sky's home at UIC Pavilion features several places to host a birthday party, company outing, or pregame reception. The Skyline Club is courtside suite, Sky Suite, with food, beverage service throughout the game, and it's also the perfect place for a casual pregame picnic.
Aquí tocamos a los número uno en banda.
And there we are, the full broadcast band, as you'd hear it if you were spinning your own radio dial in the north central part of Minnesota. From a noise-free environment, we've been able to reach out more than 350 miles in all directions across the upper Midwest. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. As we head into fall 2008, we're busy working on the construction of KYES, 50 kilowatts by day on 1180 and 5,000 watts at night near St. Cloud, Minnesota. We'll be sure to inform Jim Pogue and Paul Swearingen and our other NRC kingpins when we're ready to do a series of CPC test reports from this new station. A word about the Clear Channel band scan. Gosh, my records show that we've been behind this very same band scan microphone since this time in 1998. I guess that means we're celebrating our 10th anniversary with the DXAS. And what fun it's been, from the early days of reporting for Jim Snowbarger, to the lessons and inspiration received from John Bowker, to the patience and ingenuity of Fred Vobey, who has held the DXAS together for 20 years. With only half of that time in grade, I still feel like the rookie at times, because with every column we strive for something fresh and different, and I truly hope that every so often we hit something that's interesting and useful to you. Next month, we return to Madison, Wisconsin to complete our series of interviews with Wisconsin Public Radio's Randall Davidson. We're going to drill down into the idea of who was really first on the air in the United States. In future columns, we conclude our journey down the Missouri River, and we'll bring you a new band scan from a series of eastern states. And we're going to start a project on the development of individual radio stations on the Clear Channels, taking particular stations from their 50-watt infancy to their 50,000-watt maturity, as well as their attempts at superpower operation. As we dig into this new series, we'll also have an opportunity to examine the specific radio frequencies and to see what stations were on those channels and when. So we've got a lot to do, and with your requests and comments on this column, we ought to have enough for another 10 years or so. But let's take it one month at a time, as they say. So we'll see you in 30 days. Until then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, all you DXers in Southern California, how come you didn't tell us about the pirate? According to CGC Communicator, on July the 8th, 2008, they reported a likely Long Beach pirate that has been operating for a couple of months, operating on 1500 kilohertz, and they asked, who would be the first to track down this presumed pirate? Well, now we learn that on July the 9th, 2008, the FCC traced the signals to a residence in Long Beach, California. The name of the presumed pirate is Corey A. Campbell. According to the documents sent to Mr. Campbell, the Los Angeles office received information that an unlicensed broadcast radio station on 1500 kilohertz was allegedly operating in Long Beach, California. On July the 9th, an agent from this office confirmed by direction-finding techniques that radio signals on a frequency of 1500 kilohertz were emanating from your residence in Long Beach, California. The commission's records show that no license was issued for operation of a broadcast station at this location on 1500 kilohertz in Long Beach. Radio stations must be licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. The only exception to this licensing requirement is for certain transmitters using or operating at a power level that complies with the standards established in Part 15 of the Commission's rules. Your operation on frequency 1500 kilohertz was measured at 30,000 microvolts per meter at 30 meters. This exceeds the allowable unlicensed limit of 16 microvolts at 30 meters established by the FCC rules.
You're listening to Great Oldies on WNRC Pittsburgh, a National Radio Club radio station.
Welcome to the convention, WNRC, the oldies station.
This trip works.